I think my favourite bit of extended universe before the Disney takeover thing was Millennium Falcon originally being built as the Emperor's ship.
That wasn't before the Disney
takeover. They did that was after the Clone Wars finale, which seemed pointless.
After the Disney takeover, when in the Force Awakens lead up, there were a series of comics released. One of which, so you can't fucking blame.
I hate the extended universe of Star Wars. I just like it in the films. There's nothing good about what's not in the films.
Here's what's weird.
We're
recording, by the way.
Oh right.
Here's what's weird about.
We're recording, Patrick.
Is this in the show?
Yes.
I mean,
this is the podcast. Kind of. We're going straight into the podcast, and you're just asking me if I want a blanket.
Nobody asked. I asked if you wanted a pillow.
Whatever. I heard what I wanted to hear.
Do you want a pillow?
No, I'm fine.
Yeah.
Sure.
My tender ass is fine at the moment. Remains to be seen if it will remain to be seen.
But why does that contain Dropbox?
I think
this deleted scene is being deleted.
That is the Dropbox logo, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the Dropbox logo.
Alright, so we're looking at Salt Mary.
We're just talking about the extended universe.
Yeah.
Because, like, that whole thing about the Millennium Falcon being the Emperor's ship.
Yeah.
Built for the Emperor. Is ridiculous.
No, it's not.
It is.
No, it's not. Tom,
it's so
I tell
dumb.
You what's not. Okay, right. What
it's
you think
so,
is ridiculous.
So
what you think is ridiculous is anything that's not in the movies. Here's. I'm just gonna give
but
you.
It's,
I'm just
it's
gonna
like
give you.
Mary suing an
absolute
spaceship.
I'm gonna give you an absolute shocker here, Tom.
Yeah.
The films were written as well as the comics and the and
no!
fiction.
I think there's
this
an easy solution.
This is not a documentation of the
no!
truth.
Easy solve here.
But it says a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
10 things Tom hates about the Millennium Falcon.
A fucking chess set!
Number
what the
one.
Fuck?
I love the chess set.
Is that the only thing you like?
Yeah.
We're not doing another 10 things Tom hates.
He didn't do a first 10 things.
Yeah, he did 9. That was one of my favourite things where you called him out at 9.
I don't think he's got 10.
He didn't.
I just need to come up with one more little thing.
You can do it. You can do it.
Couldn't do it. I can't think of 10 things I hate about the Millennium Falcon, to be honest. There has been photos taken. I think it's on Google Earth. You can see it just outside of Pinewood Studios because they had to sort of dispose of it somehow, but maybe we'll use it in a later film. So they've just hidden the Millennium Falcon, a big built Millennium Falcon, and just put up storage containers around it. So, in the middle of this forest is just a fortress of storage containers. And if you climb over, you'll see a full-on,
a full rendition of it.
Yeah.
How many people have broken into that and walked around?
There's quite a few.
I would squat in that.
Yeah. Walked around. When they come to film, it's just you hide under the floorboards, and then in the middle of a shot, hello!
It's me, Harrison Ford.
I'm back from the dead.
Wow.
This is great. That is pretty.
I mean, if you saw that in the middle of a field, you'd just say, oh, it's just a ring of storage containers.
Yeah. You wouldn't dare look what's in the middle of them.
God forbid. I bet there's absolutely no gap in between those storage containers either.
No, I don't think so.
No. Yeah, that's where Pinewood Studios is. That's where the store. Where the
What's
Millennium
the point
Falcon?
Of the container? Just leave it out in the open. If it's in your studios, people will not be angry that the Millennium Falcon is
I think
there.
They didn't think of Google Earth and they thought that maybe people wouldn't see that it was there.
Or maybe they thought of Google Earth and thought, this will be a brilliant viral thing.
This will be a good
thing. It worked.
People to find. Maybe it's just a paint. Maybe that's not true, and that's just a painting of the Millennium Falcon within some storage containers.
That's pretty good.
just putting.
That's how they lure people away. The real Millennium Falcon is just in a forest off to the left. People just break into storage containers.
That's the dummy Millennium Falcon painting.
It's like
Google Earth. Area 51, but the decoy version of.
They've painted the top of the Millennium Falcon with trees.
What my question is. Why didn't they just engage the Millennium Falcon's cloaking device?
It doesn't have a cloaking device.
Yeah, it does.
It doesn't.
Yeah, it says so in the comic.
You piece of shit.
I'm going to start... Until you read that series of comics, I'm going to start making things up about the Millennium Falcon.
just bullshitting about the Millennium Falcon.
Do you know why it's got that bulge in the middle? It's because Jabba the Hutt used to live at the heart of it.
That one could be true.
Canon now.
Yeah, and basically...
Oh, wait, it's legends now.
That's back when he was a little bit smaller. And so he lived in at the centre of it and then just ate and ate and ate and kept getting people to bring him food.
Yeah.
So eventually it just swelled and swelled and swelled. And that's why it's... Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. That's why it got so plump.
Why is it called the Millennium Falcon?
Because it's a name that George Lucas...
Because in the 1960s, the millennium was a modern idea.
Yeah.
Like, ooh, futuristic millennium.
Futuristic falcon, sharp. Yeah, sharp.
Not impressed.
I don't think George Lucas anticipated his career lasting beyond the millennium.
I mean,
as far as I'm concerned, it didn't, right?
Most people in the 60s, 70s didn't anticipate the Earth lasting beyond the millennium because they're Russians.
Yes. So...
At the turn of millennium, I cried because I thought Y2K was going to kill us all.
Yeah, we all did.
No.
No, you weren't born yet.
I was 5. But I wasn't a fucking idiot.
I mean, you still are a fucking idiot, so...
Everyone thought it was a series... And it was. It was a serious issue.
Oh, I mean, it wasn't, though.
No, it was.
Well, it wasn't.
No, but it was.
Well, not really. A bunch of computer clocks were going to roll Falcons over.
No, genuinely, like, stuff in hospitals was going to start with a load of data that was going to be lost. The point was that a seriously talented task force of people went round to all the important mission-critical kind of computers and stopped the Millennium Bug from happening.
Then it's fine.
Yeah, no, wasn't it, like, on a... on, like, a timer... Where they'd have to shut stuff down, shut certain systems down on, like, when it reached that.
Yeah, but that or just updating various bits of code. Like, it was literally just
a rollover. Like, they had basically a bunch of software had the date programmed so that the first two digits never changed and the last two digits are what rolled over. And so it would have made it 1900 again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the bug.
Yeah,
would have all gone back in time.
But then, like, you've got people whose medical records no longer exist, and so people come into hospital. The hospital doesn't realize that they're allergic to penicillin, and then that person dies. Like, it's loads of stuff.
That would make such a better film than
the bug,
like,
killing people. Than would,
robots
in a way,
killing everyone.
Roll in the millennium, in like a
apropos, really.
You know. A dramatic way.
Mm. Yeah.
I would say Matrix, so. People die.
They're like, here's what's to come, you know?
Yeah.
Here's what the start of the millennium is going to be. You're going to have a few years of... you're going to have a year of all right, and then everyone's just going to start hating each other. And then just... Some people die. A lot of people take that very seriously.
Are you saying 9/11 was the real Y2K?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. that's a good point. Yeah.
I mean, look, you can't even remember 9/11.
I was 6.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Poor thing.
I was in secondary school.
I don't remember it.
I was also in secondary school.
I was also in secondary school.
You're all the same age, fuckwits.
Wait a minute. I was also in secondary school.
What year? 9? 9? I was also in year 9.
What?
Oh, my God.
No, mate, I was in year 7.
Yeah, same. We all just... Tom, what year were you in?
Year 7.
Yeah, you were in year 7?
Yeah.
Is that in the year as well?
Yeah.
For you guys, was year 7 the first year of secondary school?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, no, that was the same for me.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Patrick, what were you doing at the time?
Where were you on the night of the murder?
Patrick, you're not even really a 90s kid.
I mean, I was born in the 90s.
Yeah, did you ever watch The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air as it was nostalgia, nostalgia, nostalgia?
Did you ever Power Rangers? How about...
Did you ever get in from playing outside at 7 o'clock and say, shit, I've missed The Simpsons?
Did Uncle Phil ever throw you out the front door?
You guys I think
you don't get our references.
No, I
Jumanji.
Oh wait, their new film that's coming out. I can't wait.
Flubber.
You've made me die inside. Right.
Jumanji film looks alright.
The peak of Robin Williams' career.
Oh dear. The Jumanji film looks alright. Looks fine.
Hook.
I'll watch it. I think it'll be fun.
My Sexual Awakening when Peter Pan came out. That was the moment for me.
I thought it was The Lion King.
Oh, that too.
Okay, right, so...
Some of that's getting cut.
Oh, gonna, there's just something to Jeremy Irons, I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Oof. Jeremy Irons is a Jedi.
What was he in I watched recently? Was he in Justice League?
He's in Die Hard.
Jeremy Irons was in Justice League, yeah.
Wasn't
it a fun movie.
No.
Is he one of the
fun ass time?
Wasn't a fun movie.
Is he like a butler?
It was a fun...
He's Alfred, right?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, he's in Batman versus Superman. That was a good film.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that.
Why did you say that title like you weren't sure where it ended?
Best
Batman
Superman.
Versus Superman.
I love how the new Infinity War trailer, Thanos looks more like Bruce Willis
yep.
than Henry Cavill looks like Henry Cavill
yep.
in Superman.
Yeah. What is that, by the way? Just as a quick aside.
The mustache thing.
No, why is Bruce Willis in Infinity War?
Wait, Bruce Willis is Infinity... Thanos? Is that the big god dude who's stealing the gauntlet?
Yeah, that's the guy.
He was played by some other dude.
He's still played by some other dude.
I'll tell you who he's played by, and this is going to blow your mind. Crime boy, I don't know.
What?
Josh Brolin. Same guy.
Holy hell.
Yeah, he's
a Republican.
But if you look at him, right, he is quite clearly Bruce Willis.
I see it.
Now... Have you got a still of him from the first movie in which he appeared? The top right there, Guardians of the Galaxy. That's the one I know. Blue-faced dude on the right.
That's Guardians of the Galaxy.
Is that him as well?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's him as well.
Josh Brolin only does the voice.
I think it's... As soon as you take the helmet off, he becomes Bruce Willis.
And that's him from the Avengers, where he looks completely different
eyes.
Again.
That looks
his
like
eyes
a...
eyes are Bruce Willis.
That looks like a screenshot from a PC sort of...
Command and Conquer
game.
Cutscene.
Yeah.
It's more of a StarCraft
badly
thing,
rendered
really.
Film tie. Do you remember when there were film
like,
tie-in
look at
games?
That, right. Clearly, his eyes just... because they're not, they haven't
sure
got that red glow
the crime
in them.
I don't know, guy.
Yeah, it's Josh Brolin, isn't it?
I don't know who Josh Brolin is.
Josh Brolin plays Thanos. Anybody agree, disagree?
Can I have a look at Josh Brolin without
him
being
like
a god?
Bruce Willis. I think maybe Josh Brolin dropped out at the last minute and they had to get Bruce Willis. Or at least CG Bruce Willis.
Oh, just throw the Westwing on the end of that image. Search. I'm still not picking it up. Like,
there.
He looks a lot older here.
So that's Governor Ritchie, and then he is also Thanos.
Why is he grey here, though?
That is not Josh Brolin.
That's not Josh Brolin.
No.
You're wrong.
Oh, that's James Brolin.
Keep Brolin.
Wait. Go left.
Brolin.
Would you?
Thanos did not say crime boy I don't know in the West Wing.
He didn't. That's true.
Brolin. Right.
Wait, is
Brolin
it Thanos or Thanatos? I'm not really
Thanos.
Alright.
You're adding too many.
Thanatos is the one of the gods of death somewhere.
I'm
the
so
angel
sure
of death,
it was the same guy.
From
not hugely
Greek mythology, I believe.
You know, it's superhero movies and less superhero movie. I don't care. Just don't care.
No?
I think superhero movies were done in the 90s.
But Bruce Willis is in it.
I don't think he is.
You're right, superhero movies were done in the 90s.
It's the longest fad in the history of cinema.
Westerns.
It's not that long.
No, it's longer than Westerns.
No. Westerns went on from like...
When was Iron Man 1? 2008?
That's not the start of the superhero.
I'm not saying it is, but that is the modern superhero fad that you're talking about.
I would say the modern superhero was like Batman in the 90s.
X-Men.
I would
X-Men,
say...
X-Men, possibly. X-Men was like 1999, though.
Yeah.
White people period drama. Probably a longer fad.
Probably.
It's not a movie fad, though, really, is it?
Mm.
It's not like every single year there are five white
superheroes.
People
Have you ever tuned into the Oscars? By
it is quite
chance?
A lot. Like that.
I'm not familiar with that.
It's sort of an award show where they give awards to white people. Yeah. The period dramas.
Every year,
like
there is
years.
A list that goes out of a load of white people period drama.
The thing is, white people period drama isn't really a genre.
It is.
It is.
It's not very specific.
It's called Oscar bait.
Okay.
Yeah, it is.
What are three white people period dramas from last year?
What won the Oscar last year? Did Spotlight win last year?
I don't know, never heard of Spotlight.
Yes.
Spotlight, Mark Ruffalo.
The Iron Lady.
Iron Lady.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't last year.
It wasn't last year. I rest my case.
I'm gonna look at the Oscar nominees for last year.
That's fine, but I think you're fine.
No, I have no internet. Tom, could you look at the Oscar nominees for last year, please?
I'm not buying it. I think superhero.
The problem
is
was
more dense.
White People musical took over.
Curious Case of Benjamin Button.
Yeah, but here's the thing. White People musical is a different genre.
Yeah.
It's superhero movies.
But in the Oscars, I mean,
The Revenant, The Danish Girl.
Whoa. The Revenant is not a white people period drama.
It is not.
Yeah.
It's
just not. It's a post-apocalyptic Matt Damon crawling through a forest.
It's Leo, isn't it?
Well, whatever.
Leonardo DiCaprio, and it's not post-apocalyptic, it's Western.
No.
Carol, Room.
Room isn't...
Room's a bit, like...
How many superhero movies came out that same year?
None of them got Oscars, I think.
Yeah. That doesn't matter. We're not talking about Oscar nominations. We're talking about...
Bridge of Spies.
The Big Short.
Brooklyn.
Look, you guys are grasping at straws.
We're looking at a list!
You're only in last year. You're just calling everything with white people in it white people period drama.
Period drama. Bridge of Spies.
Which period?
Drama. The period of...
Cold War, right?
Spies.
Yeah, which period was The Revenant in that...
Western times.
Is that when spies were as well?
No,
that's Cold War.
But it's a period.
We are telling
drama.
You
a different period.
We are
it's
telling
not the
you.
Same
okay,
genre.
We're different telling superheroes. You
one has magic powers; the other can only shrink a bit.
You're telling me a Western is a period drama,
right? Yeah. Here's the thing, right? Ant-Man is a heist movie, right?
Right.
Like Captain America: Civil War, not a heist movie.
I'm sorry,
drama.
But white people period drama, all you're saying is a drama movie, which is, by the way, the most broad genre. Everything's a fucking drama, except for Transformers.
This is a fucking drama! Star Wars, right!
Star Wars is not a white people period drama.
I mean, it kind of is, just the period is, you know...
A long time ago!
Now, you guys are, like, bigger nerds than me. Parsecs measure...
Yes,
distance,
yeah, no, there is
time.
A whole thing.
What's the explanation?
The Kessel Run is full of black holes.
Yeah.
And essentially, the safe way to get through it is a long distance going around all of the black holes. And if you're fast enough to kind of and a skilled enough pilot to avoid the gravity wells, then you can go in a shorter distance.
I'm sure that's not how gravity works.
Well, it is now.
It is in Star Wars.
Well, it is. If you've got powerful engines, then you can sort of get through closer to a gravity well, right?
Well, I mean, I don't want to slow the podcast down, but I have just finished reading The Science of Interstellar, and I'm quite confident that if you have that many black holes near each other, what you end up with is one black hole.
Yeah. Bringing it up with George Lucas.
And around that black hole will be a giant spinning beam of light that would fry anything that came anywhere near it.
Exactly.
Including a Millennium Falcon.
Kessel Run. Difficult time.
I think back in 1977, it was George Lucas just writing words that sounded cool.
I have to give George Lucas credit here, is The Science of Interstellar and a lot of the books it referenced were published after the 70s. So maybe he was just going with the best information available at the time.
He's like, what's a sciencey word? I mean, to be honest, when he says he made the Kessel Run in so-and-so parsecs, it does sound like someone bullshitting, which is perfectly enhanced to his character.
Doing.
Yeah.
It's only when the fandom started taking his bullshit seriously.
Yeah, but imagine that was somebody bragging, like, in a pub in the UK, and they're just like, oh yeah, I did the Europe run in 3 miles. And you're just like, well...
So you...
But Europe's
cheating.
Bigger than 3 miles.
Yeah.
So you cut a lot of corners. The Europe run going from one end of London to a slightly different borough of London via Croatia. And you were just like, I did it in 3 miles.
Yeah.
Screw you!
Also, we don't measure...
I missed out. I didn't count
time
any of
in
the bullshit.
Like, I feel like even as bar bullshit, it doesn't really work.
But how much of a better scene would it have been if he'd said that he did that in less than 12 parsecs and everyone had just gone quiet and somebody just go, what?
That's a distance.
Yeah. What do you mean? What is that?
Just explain.
The whole bar turns around. They all have doctorates.
But still, they don't. And they just go, I have no idea what you just said.
Yeah, what's a parsec? What do you mean? Explain more.
Well, firstly,
I don't want to slow the cantina down.
Who's in that scene? Because it's Leia and
No. It's the cantina bar, so everyone can only Chewbacca. Luke Skywalker,
Obi-Wan Kenobi probably knew that was bullshit. You know, he's flown around. He's been a busy bee.
Luke Skywalker's a pilot. He'll know what a parsec is as well. So it's just like,
no, Luke's a farm boy.
No, he's a pilot as well.
Yeah, but not an interstellar space pilot who knows what a parsec is.
Tatooine
isn't a parsec. Can't fly. You don't go like.
Oh, well, all right.
You don't go sort of like you're flying around on a fucking jumbo jet, like passenger plane. This is an announcement to the passengers. We'll be touching down. We are about 0.004 light years away from our destination.
I mean, like.
Oh my god!
Luke was an X-wing pilot, not a passenger plane pilot.
But like, he'd never been off Tatooine. So, like...
Presumably he had some training before he got into an
X-Wing. I'm sure he would have done some theory.
There was a test involved, and I'm sure it had the word parsec.
Bullshit.
All right,
He needed either a computer or magic powers to fly that thing. There was no way that was just skill.
All right, fuck it. Luke didn't know then. Obi-Wan definitely fucking knew.
Yeah.
Like, he spent half of the episode 2 and 3 flying around shouting Anakin. Like,
Can we just find one of the outtakes from Star Wars in that cantina scene where they're all just smiling uncomfortably, waiting for the next bit to begin, so that then we can cut in that middle of that scene. He says, "Kessel running under 12 parsecs," and then just Luke and Obi-Wan just smiling uncomfortably, and then cut back to Harrison Ford. And cut back to them again. Same scene of them smiling.
Same shot, exactly the same shot.
And then someone just carries on.
No, then the cantina music starts again.
Record scratch when he says it.
Yeah. Everyone turns to look at him.
Pretty good, is it?
So is Disney. Right, let's move on to Sailt Mare.
Now, that's certainly a name.
Yeah.
It doesn't look that yakky to
it's
me.
It's certainly a head as well. If you look up yak face,
give me some,
on Wikipedia.
What is his race?
It is Yakora.
All right. Well, all right.
Oh, no, Yakora, sorry.
Okay.
Okay.
Given that this character is the only one called Yakface.
Now, where does the name Yakface come from?
It sounds like a racist slur, if I'm honest.
Does Jabba the Hutt say that?
No, I think it's just what people have called him over the years.
It's just a fan name?
Before he got his own, like, 15-chapter comic.
Yeah.
Didn't have a name.
Yeah, well, his biography. Sailt Mare was a Yakora, and like all members of his species, he was very secretive, thus next to nothing was known about his background.
Now, I have a question.
That's
Tom.
Helpful.
And I don't...
That is so fanfiction-y.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so dark and secretive. I have a serious
Do
background.
Do not steal.
I'm not going to tell you
right.
what it is.
Why? Yeah, but here's
Daniel
the thing.
Daniel Coldsteel didn't
got enough
have a
money.
Background.
Yeah. Got enough money to be in Jabba's palace as a fucking leisure guest.
But nobody knows where he came from.
He made
the room.
He was born several hundred years before the Battle of Yavin, living the majority of his early life in the far reaches of the Outer Rim territories. Like many Yakora, Mare embarked on a life of crime, becoming a con man early in his life. He noted every little detail he had been told by those he wished to plunder, using them for bribery, intrigue, and blackmail. So we've got a very...
This is becoming an increasingly racist article. Firstly, it's the Yakura called Yak Face, and then it's like most Yakura, he's into crime.
Yeah, secretive. Now, Tom, the word Yakura is highlighted in that first sentence as blue. I assume that goes to the page Yakura.
Yeah,
There's also the word species. His species. The word species is highlighted blue. What does that link to?
All the species.
Does it just link to all of the species?
Yeah, sure it does.
Yeah.
It links to the word species on the Wikipedia.
Yeah, sure, why not?
Okay, fine.
There appears to be a sort of floating brain in one of those.
Sure.
Could be a sidekick.
It's Star Wars.
Okay, so this guy, he's a con man, he's mysterious, he's secretive.
Typical Yukora, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Classic.
So we've got to decide at what point, for what reason, is Yak Face at Jabba's palace.
We know how he ends, how he dies.
Do we?
Yeah, yeah. Because he's on Jabba's sail barge when they blow it up.
Oh, really?
Again.
Dies in the
again.
Wait.
The rebels are the bad guys.
No, but remember, Yak Face is smart.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Knows what's going on. As soon as the Jedi reveals himself, I'm getting the fudge out of here.
I don't want to, like, work this thing backwards, but I think your post credits scene is you see the smouldering ruins of the leisure barge and then you just see his yak hand reach out.
What if
summary will return in yak hand.
What if this is a Jabba the Hutt's palace heist? Right? Oh. You know, while
and
here's the thing, Yak Face has been there before. Mm. So Yak Face knows that at some point everyone in Jabba's palace is taking a nap. Like, that just happens in there.
Yeah, that's a weird
everyone
bit.
Just sleeps.
Yeah. Jabba's just like, okay, nap time. Everyone's too afraid to say, like, hang on. Do you not want to keep some guards? No? All right, yeah, it's nap time, guys.
Everyone's just sleeping.
It's like if a mob boss told you it was time for a nap. You'd be like, I hope this doesn't mean I'm going to die. You'd be thankful that it was just nap
like,
time.
It's like you're holding your blaster and your spear or whatever, and you're like, okay, I'm just gonna lay down now.
Do we know?
Just gonna. No, still recording.
Still recording.
Do we know for the fact that Jabba the Hutt is not 5 years old, and just sometimes needs a nap?
Isn't he in like the original, the new episodes 1 to 3? I'm sure he's in.
He's in episode 1.
Yeah.
So he's older than 5 years.
Do we know that?
He's at least a Vader's age.
He gets called out by name and is credited as himself in the film.
That movie's fucked up.
He's at least as old as Anakin Skywalker. Maybe
wait,
he's like a...
they credit him as himself.
We did the commentary on it, and at the end we noticed that he's credited as himself.
It's like Jabba the Hutt as himself.
Yeah, yeah.
That's fucked up.
Also, he's not an actor,
also,
is he?
Also no. Pictured Greg Proops.
What?
Yeah.
Where's he in that movie?
Who the hell is Greg
He's
Proops?
One of the heads of the announcers for the pod race.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't care what universe you're from. That's gotta hurt.
Those guys were the best part of that episode. Yeah.
Wait, universe you're from?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's okay.
Yes. Yeah, I don't think Greg Proops has ever seen Star Wars.
They asked him to improvise that line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, fuck it, Greg.
Say whatever. It doesn't matter.
I reckon he did go into the booth and just say, improvise some Star Wars lines as a
like
commentator.
A guy gets hurt and it's sci-fi. Just say something.
Fucking hell.
Just whatever.
George Lucas Greg is a fucking wank director.
Can you imagine him sat there like, I really don't know anything about this. You've got to give me some lines. They're getting increasingly impatient with me. Just make some shit.
You're an improviser, aren't you, Greg?
I thought we
wait, is this Greg Proops or Kermit the Frog?
I thought we invited you to Skywalker Ranch here to do some lines because you were a comedian. I thought that you were gonna be doing some funny lines.
But I need to know what's happening in the scene, George. I need to know like
you're
what's
make
going
the,
on.
My movie funny, right?
This one's going to be the funniest movie we've ever made. Jar Jar Binks is in it. He's the funniest character we've ever had in a Star Wars movie.
Do you have any of the CG created that I can look at? No? Okay.
No? Can I like, at least have, like, a working script?
We just want you to improvise some lines. There's a pod race happening. Everyone knows what a pod race is.
A pod race?
In the scene before, someone literally says, now this is pod racing.
Yeah. Okay. So what if it's something like, I don't care what your universe is from. That's gonna hurt.
Wow.
All right, keep going.
Ow. Universe irrelevant. That is a painful.
keep at it. Can you say something about stars?
Now that's what I call star racing.
Those are some stars worth fighting over in a wars.
That's good, yeah. Keep going.
Who's going to win this war?
I think we're just scumming through
it's irrelevant.
This scene.
Irrelevant as to which dimension you're from. This is painful.
But when travelling in space or time, this is fast.
Those are certainly some alien races.
Okay, can you make up some names for the pod racers?
Oh, there goes Sebulba.
Yeah. and Tama Map. And there's Ryan Stiles.
And there's Skywalker.
Yes, Sky. Oh, no, that's already one.
That's literally
that's the bit about how little thought George Lucas put into that name.
Wait, are you Greg Proops or am I Greg Proops?
We're both Greg Proops.
Is Greg Proops?
These guys are both George Lucas.
I don't care what universe you're from, we're both Greg Proops.
Because Greg Proops is the character's got two heads.
Sure, of course.
can you give me some more names of Star Wars characters, please?
Sure, how about Darble Fleebelrax?
Oh, there goes, what did you call him? Jar Jar. Here he goes. He crashed.
What about, Max Bend?
There goes Large Engines.
That's really good. Thanks, Greg Proops.
You're very welcome, George Lucas.
I think we discovered during this bit just how bad a director George Lucas is, because at some point that conversation had to happen,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And they said, I don't care what universe you're from, that's gotta hurt.
Yeah.
And then George Lucas said, yes, that's fine.
That's perfect.
That's the line.
That's the line that will be in the last cut of the movie.
Despite the fact that the maximum distance anyone's ever travelled in this world is the galaxy.
Yeah.
To be fair to George Lucas, it was only his fourth movie.
No, it's not.
Oh, are we talking about the holiday special?
No. I'm talking about THX1138, shit, American Graffiti.
About Star Wars.
Oh, about Star Wars. Cool. Yeah,
so he hadn't really established a canon yet.
Yeah. There wasn't much.
Oh, no,
going
wait,
on.
No. You're right. It is his fourth movie directing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, no. Yes. Yeah,
well,
yeah.
I mean, except for the holiday special, did he direct that?
No,
I've not seen it.
It was Alan Smithy.
I don't know who that is.
It's a name directors give if they don't like the final cut of the movie.
Yeah. Oh,
okay. Do we know who
Alan Smithy's wanking?
Yeah.
Absolutely terrible.
Imagine if you were a
very
director
versatile
called Alan Smithy.
He's worked in loads of different genres.
Yeah.
All right, did we make the movie?
Yak Face?
No, I don't think.
Yak Face is basically, he's there to fucking plunder Jabba's palace.
Oh yeah, it's a heist.
Yeah, it's a heist.
To steal large engines is large engines.
It's just this enormous security flaw in Jabba's palace, which is everyone takes nappy time sometimes.
It is weird. That scene I've always found very strange, how everyone just sleeps.
Here's the thing, this is why I think the original trilogy is garbage. It's not like there's this one really weird scene that doesn't make much sense. It's like there's like a third of the scenes in Star Wars.
Yeah.
So why not? Like, within the context of Star Wars, that isn't even a weird scene.
Let's go nappy time.
Yeah.
Hey, you don't really question it.
Does the monster in the basement have a nap as well? Like, what's the system?
That, and the guy who's looking after the monster in the basement...
Yeah.
Is ridiculously emotionally attached to it.
Yeah.
Like, I always found that weird as well, when, like, he's... Like, there's, like, a full-on five-second shot of that guy just crying over the Rancor. It's
also
really weird.
How can you sleep when you live above a monster in the basement?
That's every child's worst nightmare.
Is the Rancor secure? Probably. Dave's with it.
Let's say yes. This hasn't been revealed yet, has it? That there's a Rancor in the basement to the moviegoers.
I guess not.
No. It has been hinted at, though.
To the palace, people in the palace, they all fucking know.
Yeah.
Right. So they're all lying down on the floor, going like, gee whiz, I hope I don't end up in the basement before I wake up.
I think they're all looking at each other really wide-eyed, like, who's not going to be here when we wake up? this is the system. Like,
yeah.
The first person to say no to Jabba definitely goes to the Rancor. At least if we all play along, it's just random.
Yeah. Now we go nappy time.
I'm not tired.
Down you go.
Not sleepy, you go basement.
And there we have the title of the deleted scenes.
Basement help you sleepy.
You become the Rancor's next plushie.
So Yak Face.
So Yak Face is like, I feel like is also awake during nap time. But then when the Jedi's fuck it all up, or when the Rebel Alliance fuck everything up trying to save Han Solo, Yak Face is like, fuck, well, I better pretend. What you don't see in the movies is, like, the inside of his coat is completely lined with gold and jewels and like, watches. Credit chips and, like, all sorts of shit that he's just, like, stolen. And I want to say his biggest prize, though, was on that pleasure barge.
Yeah.
Like, but he'd managed to... The plan was... Yeah. The plan of this heist was... Now, we can come up with some auxiliary characters to this if you want, but the plan was, get this giant crystal, or maybe the Rancor, into the pleasure barge, and then the getaway vehicle was supposed to be the pleasure barge, right?
Yeah.
Like,
maybe it's take control of the pleasure barge, tip everyone else into the mouth,
into the sunset,
and then drive off into the sunset.
Yeah, pretty much.
I'm loving how in both the IG-88 movie and the Yak Face movie, it's both just sort of inconsequential that the rebels were there
to ruin their plan. Basically, it's just the rebels come along and just ruin both of these movies.
It's about the innocent bystanders.
I wouldn't say the Yak Face is innocent.
No.
But sort of like someone that's completely out of the conflict getting really hurt by, or like their plans being ruined by the larger conflict that's going on. Star Wars. By all the Star Wars that's happening.
Too many Star
all
Wars.
Those wars in the stars.
I
think that's that movie, really, isn't it? It's like, plan was, get this giant kyber crystal, because that's a thing. Onto the barge, they put it in the docking. He's put it in the docking bay, and then that's why, like, he's on the pleasure barge at the end. He's succeeded in his heist, but the thing is, like, that as soon as the rebels turn up, fucked it. Now he's got to be on the barge to try and get, like, to the end of the fucking finish line with his prize. But then when it's clear that the barge is going to blow up.
Blow it up again.
Yeah.
It's only just become clear to me why Star Wars is called Star Wars. Because the original trilogy deals with a war over a star. But
Death Star Wars.
Yeah.
Death Star Wars.
I mean, I think it's called Star Wars because it sounds cool. Fight.
Yeah.
I mean,
like most things in Star Wars, it sounds cool. It's just
fight space.
Yeah, I might be reaching.
Well, I mean, that's what Star Wars fans do, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, this is fine. It's parsecs. It's black holes, isn't it?
Yeah. Probably, yeah. You know, that sort of... This is fine, you know, what we'll come up with.
The tagline for the entire Star Wars saga could easily be, don't think about it too much.
And yet, people have disobeyed that advice. And yet, since the 1970s, people have been fucking thinking about it far too much.
Greg Proops' character in that movie is the first Star Wars character I've seen that doesn't have an outrageously long backstory. completely irrelevant.
Well, I know, it's just Craig Proops.
Yeah, there's no, like... I mean, there's also another character.
And Craig Proops came to the New York Comedy Circuit when...
just go to the Wikipedia entry for Greg Proops and you'll find the Wikipedia entry for him.
Tell you what, wouldn't it be brilliant if this works now? Wouldn't it be brilliant if Greg Proops had... was literally Greg Proops from our... And that's why he said, I don't care what universe you're from. Because Greg Proops was like...
He's from another universe.
George Lucas didn't even give him a name and he didn't even give him a character. So he's just like, just imagine you've been transported to a, to another universe where people are doing pod racing and you've been made to do a commentary on it.
Now, here's another thing. So there are two-headed being, and there's another actor doing the other head, right? And they did it in makeup and prosthetics that were then judged to be not realistic enough, they just CG'd the characters.
Yeah. Like all the rest.
When they CG'd the characters, they switched the heads. So Greg Proops was voicing the redhead, I think, and then in the movie he's actually voicing the greenhead when they can regenerate it.
Can we get an image of what they look like in that makeup before they CG'd it?
Yeah, it's on it's on the character page. It's one of the few bits of trivia.
Do you think Star Wars will make it to 100 years?
Yeah, dude.
Oh yeah, someone will drag it up.
Is it gonna be the first movie saga to last that long?
Star Wars is never gonna die.
Oh my god, I didn't even know that the
that's not a singular like franchise. Yeah,
just put Greg Proops Star Wars in it. It's the second one along on Google Images.
That's
and it. Looks insane.
Yeah, that's what you need to find. It's messed up
with the blue screen.
And then go just a few more along, and you'll see the finished movie. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's really weird. Them. Fodensin Bead Anadu.
If you were that race, whatever that is.
Yeah, with like four arms.
I don't know what job you'd do other than commentating.
I reckon, right? Their Wikipedia entry, their species is they're all commentators. Yak Face is
They do have a species.
Yeah.
You have to tell us.
Can we have a member of the species in Yak Face's story?
Troig, that's their species, right at the very top.
Troig.
Is there a blue thing for it? Let's find that.
I'll go into Legends though, obviously. Oh shit. Always more in Legends.
Wait, this Troig pictured only has two arms.
That's good. They're folded.
Oh, they're sassy character.
Are they all commentators?
I'm trying to find out.
God, that's more article than any of the characters we've
Society and culture. This is such a long article for Greg Proops' bullshit.
Why did Greg Proops need a second head? Like,
well,
was he not enough?
He didn't voice the second head. Yeah, but a different actor.
I don't know anything the second head said.
Well, yeah,
I believe he translates.
I thought the other head mostly just went, ooh, youch.
Yeah. Because
commentator. It's like the hype man.
Play by play, there's a play by play commentator and a color commentator.
Yeah.
The species' inherent extroversion made them natural entertainers and event hosts.
Yeah.
Yes, I was right.
They're all commentators.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Got, like in sports, you have a color commentator and a play by play, right?
I don't know sports really.
Or flag commentator. So basically, the idea is, and I only know this from esports, so I'm sort of
screwed.
If anything, more nerdy than you.
It's true.
You're just sort of like sports agnostic, whereas I'm like the other way.
Sports atheist.
Don't exist.
You have one guy who's like, oh, and he's running down the side, he's doing a thing, jumping over the person that was gonna hit him in the face. Then you've got the other person who's like, yeah, Bob, he's really playing a great game. What we're gonna see from the Washington big faces is that, you know, they're gonna have a strong offense in the first quarter, and then they're gonna really get some points before suddenly they're gonna turn into their defensive formation, and there won't be there'll be a shield around that point barrier.
I think I know what I'm gonna do with our Google Hangout.
Yeah.
I'm gonna see if I can contact a really shitty sports network, like, you know, a South African football league, and make ESPN you two commentate. Yeah, just make you two commentate on a game.
Yeah, Bob.
No, you're both.
Oh, I don't care what universe you're from.
That's gonna hurt.
I want both of you to do your commentating as George Lucas.
Oh yeah, because he's kicked the ball over there. That's a really good move.
I don't care what universe you're from. That's gonna hurt.
So yeah, that was.
I never realized
Yak Face's story.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay. Star Wars, a Yak Face story.
Yes.
I'm not entirely sure what happens in this film. We got sidetracked.
Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it.
It's one of those feeder movies. It's creating the next
just world building
in the franchise.
Like Age of Ultron.
I have to leave in 3 hours.
Hello, just want to say thank you for listening to the Lives of Pitch deleted scenes.
We hope you've enjoyed it. If you have, maybe consider sharing it with your friends on social media, by word of mouth, anywhere really. Maybe put it onto a thumb drive and just throw it at someone. And maybe even reviewing it on wherever you got it. If you find it somewhere on iTunes or Acast or wherever, maybe review it there. 5 stars, thumbs up, give everyone the heads up.
Like I said before, thank you. Cheers.
Right.
Bye.